ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சாதனா பஞ்சகம் ஸ்லோகா நம்பர் 4. க்ஷுத்வியாதிஷ்ச சிகித்ஸ்யதாம் ப்ரதிதினம் பிக்ஷௌஷதம் புஜ்யதாம் ஸ்வாத்மன்னம் ந து யாஞ்சதாம் விதிவசாத் ப்ராப்தேன சந்துஷ்யதாம் சீதோஷ்ணாதி விஷஹ்யதாம் ந து வ்ருதா வாக்யம் சமுச்சார்யதாம் ஔதாசீன்யமபீப்ஸ்யதாம் ஜனக்ருபா நைஷ்டுர்யமுத்ஸ்ருஜ்யதாம். So the Acharya is continuing with some more instructions in this verse, and those instructions should go with Nididhyasana. We already saw Shravanam and Mananam. Now Nididhyasana is continuing. These are all instructions conducive to Nididhyasana, complementary to Nididhyasana. And this is regarding the fundamental needs of life, like food and other things. Because whether somebody is a jnani or an ajnani, a grahastha, doesn't matter, sannyasi, food is a must for everyone. And the acharya, considering here a sannyasi, he need not consider grahastha, because for a grahastha he gets food. So this advice here in this particular shloka is more with respect to a sannyasi. So he says, kshud vyadihi, kshud vyadischa chikityatam. So, Kshud Vyadihi, the Acharya is comparing Kshud. Kshud means hunger. Hunger as though it is a disease, Vyadi. Now, let us compare hunger and a disease. How hunger is considered a disease? Actually, disease, Swamiji says, is dis-ease. You are not at ease. That is disease. It's a very simple definition. And during hunger, how do you really feel? You are not at ease, certainly. Therefore, hunger also is a type of disease only. And for a disease, there is a remedy in the form of medicine. For hunger also, there is a remedy in the form of food. And again, when you take the medicine, your aim is only to cure the disease. Because, for example, cough syrup you take. Cough syrup tastes very good. We cannot take bottles and bottles of cough syrup. It will taste good though. So you do not drink medicine. For example, otherwise homeopathy, they give all these small sugar tablets, the round ones. We cannot say, because it is so tasty, I can eat lot of them. So medicine is only taken when there is a disease. That also only as much that is required to cure the disease. So that is for a medicine. And in the same way, if you have to take food, food also is to be taken only to quench the hunger. We should not say 8 a.m., 12 a.m., 12 noon, again 3 p.m., 8 p.m., not none of those things. It has to be taken only when you are hungry. For example, you need an empty bottle at home for something. And you did not find any. But there was another bottle with lot of cashew nuts in that. So what do you do? You look here and there and finish all the cashew nuts and then have that empty bottle for whatever other use you had to. So that's not allowed. So the stomach is not some waste paper basket or something to dump everything and anything. So when I am hungry, I take the required amount only, exactly like medicine. So food should be consumed like medicine only to quench the hunger alone. And again, since I take the medicine only to cure the disease, I am not particular about the taste of the medicine, because the intent is to cure the disease. So once upon a time, when I was not a seeker, when I was just an ordinary grihastha, then at that time I was particular about the taste. That is, when I was artharthi or kamarthi, at that time I gave importance to those things like taste and all that thing, appearance. They are all fine. So artha and kama are both purusharthas. We can go after them at those times in the grahastha life. but we have to grow out of them. So by the time we come to moksha sadhana, the importance is shifted now. And when importance is shifted, especially as a sannyasi, one can afford, one cannot afford to have those kinds of likes and dislikes. As a grahastha, one may say, I like this food and that food, but as a sannyasi, he has to always say, Bhavati Bhikshan Dehi only. He cannot say, Bhavati Masal Dosa Dehi. He can never ask for those things at all. So because of the common reasons between hunger and disease, what are those common reasons? Both cause uneasiness and both require remedy, either medicine or food. And both of them, they remedies cannot be used as and when you like. It should be used one only when there is a need. And both remedies can be used only to that much extent as to remove the disease. And in both the cases, taste is not given the most important things at all. So these are the five different aspects. So Adi Shankaracharya says, Krud Vyadihi Chikitsyatam Pratidhinam. May you treat the disease, chikitsyata, may you treat the disease of hunger, krudvyadihi, of hunger regularly, pratidinam. How? Bhikshaushadam bujyatam. So, by taking the medicine of bhiksha, bhikshaushadam. And if he is a grahastha, there also he can observe some rules. Like what? Eat only when you are hungry. It doesn't mean that only it is applied only for a sannyasi. Even when for a grahastha, we have to apply some disciplines. Eat only when you are hungry. Eat only to quench the hunger. Eat without too much complaining about the taste. You know, normally people say one salt less or one more drop of decoction will make the coffee taste better. And swadu annam natu yachyatam. May you not ask. Natu yachyata, may you not ask for delicious dishes, swadu annam. What is wrong if I ask for delicious dishes? If you ask for delicious dishes daily and enjoy, then you have to identify yourself with your tongue. Because that only tells whether the food is delicious or not. That means what? You are encouraging dehabhimana, association with the body, whereas the aim is what? Dehe aham mati rujyatam. That's what we saw in the previous shloka. Dehe aham mati rujyatam. It was said, therefore, do not encourage dehabhimana, tongue abhimana. One should not encourage that. So, swadu annam natu yachyatam. That means to ask for. Do not ask for swadu annam. Then what should I do? Vidivashat praptena santushyatam. May you be satisfied. Santushyatam. May you be satisfied with whatever comes by chance. Vidhi vashat. And in this context, vidhi means prarabdha. Whatever prarabdham gives you, eat only that. Jnani also has got prarabdham. Sannyasi also has got prarabdham. If it is bhoga prarabdham, one will get more and more good things, comforts, tasty food, etc. If it is bhoga prarabdham, even if it is not asked. And if it is some other prarabdham, it may be something else. So whatever prarabdham brings, may you be satisfied with that. Do not demand anything more. And this is with respect to food. In Bhagavad Gita also, what did Krishna say? Yadricha lava santushtaha dvantvatito vimatsaraha. Yadricha lava santushtaha, whatever comes, yadricha, without your own desire, whatever you got, without your desire, just accept it. And next is, dvandvatito vimatsaraha, that's what Acharya is saying in the next instruction. Sheetoshnadim vishapyatam, that means, may you put up with what? With the opposites, dvandvas. Dvandvas are the diametrically opposite things. May you put up with them, whatever comes in that. So, Shritoshnatim Vishahyatam. Vishahyatam, may you put up with the opposite things, diametrically opposite experiences. So, Dvandvadito Vimatsaraha. That's what Krishna said. So, he hot and cold. This is called in Krishna, in Gita, Krishna said Nirdvandvaha. Nirdvandvaha means don't be carried away by the opposite experiences, like Sheetam and Ushnam, Jaya, Parajaya, Mana, Apamana, Labha, Nashta, Sanyoga, Viyoga, Janma, Mrityu, Ninda, Stuti, all these things, they are all opposite experiences. Do not get carried away by them. They are all important, but may you put up with pairs of opposites, the dvandvas, which depend upon desha, kala, prarabdha, all those things. So Shankaracharya had given instruction regarding the eating tongue. Now he gives another instruction regarding the talking tongue. So eating tongue he gave all these. Now talking tongue, he says, vritha vakyam na samuchharyatam. Vritha vakyam, may you not utter. Na samuchharyata, may you not utter even a single word without necessity. Vrita vakyam, a word without necessity. So as somebody said, you know, when it is not necessary to talk, it is very much necessary not to talk. When it is necessary to talk, very much not to talk. Because there is no tax, for example, for talking. Because the mouth is available, don't go on talking because mouth is available and there is somebody to listen. Reduce the talk. Talk less always. All spiritual sadhanas begin from the tongue only. Reduce the talk. So, yogasya prathamadvaram vang nirodaha. That is instruction. So, and which tongue? Both the tongues, the eating tongue and the talking tongue. So, avicharyana vaktavyam. Avicharyana vaktavyam. And vaktavyam suvicharitam. Kimcha tatraivam vaktavyam yatroktam sapalam bhavet. That is the shloka. So, say everything after thinking. Generally, we do the other way. We say lot of things first and start thinking what we said and then feel, oh, we should not have said that or we should have said the other way. Every word should come only after it was well processed by the intellect. Saying later, sorry, I don't mean it. That's all very interesting. All those things, they are all not desired. So, in Tamil, there is this kural. Yakavarayinum nakakka. So, one has to always have control on the tongue. So, the first rule is what? Say only the word which has been well edited, well processed, well moderated, well censured, well filtered. That is the first condition. And the second condition is, even if you want to tell something, make sure whether the other person has got respect for your words, whether he cares for your words or not, whether he wants your words or advice. The advice may be relevant, but the other person may not be interested in that advice. So the value of our words will come down if it is an unwanted advice. That is why actually many parents, they commit this mistake and lose respect in front of their own children. Where when there are things which will affect the future of our children, there we can give suggestions, advice. It is our duty. But for every minor thing, if you go on commenting or suggesting, they lose the respect for all these things. So children lose respect for their parents also. All because of what? Vritha upadeshaha. All wasteful words. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, do not talk in a place where your words have no value. Suppose, if I don't know whether they will listen to me or not, I can try, nothing wrong in that. Otherwise, once I definitely know, there is no use of wasting my words on them again. Therefore, the Acharya very strongly says, vritha vakyam na samuchharyata. So Lord Krishna, who himself is the embodiment of Vedanta, the closest friend of Arjuna, but he never talked about Vedanta to Arjuna himself. In the battlefield, in the entire first chapter, Arjuna was blabbering so many things. Krishna knew Arjuna requires Gita, but Krishna never voluntarily gave Gita to Arjuna. He was waiting very patiently. He knew that the time has come for him to talk. Still, he did not talk. Only in the second chapter, Arjuna said, I am confused. I want your advice. Sishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. Only when Arjuna said that, then only Krishna started to give the advice, asochyan, anvasochastvam, all those shlokas. So similarly, we may know a lot of things, we may like to give a lot of advice to other people, it is indeed great to be generous, but giving the wrong place may prove futile. So one has to be careful. And therefore Shankaracharya says, shut up your mouth. That's what he says. More mature I am, less will be my talk. We can see in any gathering, for example, who are more mature and who are not mature. Noise very high means what? Maturity very low. This I'm just, we are just only saying. So and then audashinyam abhipsyatham. Do not join any groups. All these groups, you know, society is full of groups. You should be in this group or that group. This is called block thinking. You should be in this block or that block. If there are 10 people, there will be so many blocks. So A will criticize B, B will criticize C. All because of what? Because of tongue. All are interconnected. So these are all typical symptoms of what? Of samsara. All these things are typical. So if you are in society, in the society, certain groups may be there. They will exist. One should be extremely diplomatic not to join any of these groups. One can love all people, move with all the people, but not join any group. And that is called audashinyam. No party politics at all. And I have got only good words about everyone. Not that everyone is perfect. Each one has got his own weakness. That's, you know, in society is common. If I talk, I talk about the good points only. Otherwise, I observe silence, maunam. Therefore, never criticize, never join groups, be neutral. So, audasinyam. So, udasina bhavaha. So, apakshapataha. So, abhipsyata. And the other people may put us in various groups. They may put it. So, we cannot help it. What they are going to do, we cannot help it. If they label us that we are in this camp or the other camp, this group or that group, we are helpless. We can do nothing about it. But we do not consciously get involved in any groupism. So this becomes more important in case of a sannyasi. Therefore, Shankaracharya gives audasinyam abhipsyatam. May you desire to remain aloof. Then janakripa naishturyam utsirjyatam. Janakripa, love of people. Janakripa, compassion of people. So the people may love you. They may admire you. They may glorify you. And naishturyam. Naishturyam means another set of people may be cruel to you. So one set of people may be nice to you. Another set of people may be cruel to you. They may be critical. So this nishturya bhavaha. So that's called naishturyam. So even Lord Krishna was not spared. There was a Shishupala. They criticized Krishna so much. You know, he did archana of Krishna. Not Vishnu Sahasranam archana. His own archana. So similarly, Rama also was criticized by people. Even now also, they are criticizing Rama. Some of these groups say Sita was ill-treated by Rama. All those stories are there. When Rama and Krishna themselves are not spared, what to talk of people like ordinary people like us? So people may love you, they may hate you, but you make sure you do not develop raga or dvesha. Because they are nice to you, don't develop raga. Because they are not nice to you, don't develop dvesha towards them. Never allow their treatment to generate raga dvesha in you. And what do you do then? Receive the treatment and immediately keep it separate. Keep it aside. So, usrijyatam, let it be forgotten then and there. If they have ill-treated, forgive and forget. If they are nice, thank God. Thank them also. And again forget. All that one can do. Do not develop any more clinging. When you go that side, let me see him, etc. All those vairi bhavam. Do not have it and do not, you know, dwell upon those kinds of thoughts at all. Shloka 5. Ekante sukamasyatam paratare chetas samadhiyatam purnatma susamikshyatam jagaditam tadvatitam drishyatam prakarma previlapyatam chitibalat napyuttarai shrishyatam prarabdham tiha bujyatam atha para brahmatmanastiyatam. ఇది శ్రీమద్ భగవత్ శ్రీమద్ శంకర భగవత్పాదః కృతౌ ఉపదేశ పంచకం సంపూర్ణం. దిస్ ఇస్ ద లాస్ట్ శ్లోక. సో ఇన్ ది ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక, ది ఫోర్త్ శ్లోక, శంకరాచార్య గేవ్ సెర్టన్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ కాంప్లిమెంటరీ టు నిధిధ్యాసన. దే ఆర్ నాట్ ద ప్రైమరీ వన్స్, దే విల్ హెల్ప్ ఇన్ డ్వెల్లింగ్ అపాన్ ద టీచింగ్. దట్స్ వాట్ హీ గేవ్ ఎర్లియర్. సో దే ఆర్ సపోర్టివ్ సాధనాస్ అండ్ నాట్ ప్రైమరీ వన్స్. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద ప్రైమరీ వన్? డ్వెల్లింగ్ అపాన్ ద టీచింగ్, బికాస్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు అసిమ్యులేట్ ద టీచింగ్. So keep on dwelling on the teaching. How do you say that the other sadhanas are supportive then? If one follows those instructions, the mind will remain equanimous, poised, tranquil. So if you take care of the food affair, for example, the talking affair, the grouping affair, grouping trap, they call it, raga dvesha, then the advantage is mind will be relaxed from extravert thinking. That is the aim. Mind will be relaxed from that. The mind has got quality time. It is quality time. It's a beautiful word though. It means what? For example, what? Between two great big jobs. We have got two big jobs. And we may have half an hour or 45 minutes in between these two jobs. We get that time. But it is not quality time. Because you cannot sit and read or do something solid during that time. Because once the meeting is over, either you think of that meeting, or for before the next meeting, you start thinking of the next meeting. Even though you've got the free time, it is not quality time. So we go around here and there, or go to the other place and sit and wait. All those we do. So between various big jobs, we may get some time, but it is not quality time because one cannot wholeheartedly do anything or relax. By quality time, we mean that at that time, we can do something wholeheartedly. The heart is not going to be occupied by any other thing. Wholeheartedly we can do. If we observe these instructions, we get much more quality time. That's what the Acharya says. And when we get lot of such quality time, what we should do? He says, ekante sukham, sukham ashyatam. Be seated in a secluded place. Ekantam. Undisturbed by other people. Bickering, all those things don't happen there. And if the other people do not talk to me, inquire about me, I am not unhappy. I don't think, oh, he didn't care for me and all. I don't say any of those things. I'm happy, actually. I consider it as a blessing. Otherwise, we have to talk to them, which may lead to maybe some gossip. How you did, and then we may ask questions, how you did not tell me, you told the other person, should you tell only when I ask you, all those complex, everything will come. So we ourselves drag things and cause trouble for ourselves and give trouble to others also. Now no one comes to talk to me at all, that's fine. Actually as one ages, the Lord makes even hearing a bit dull. As we grow older, hearing becomes duller. Then this person, at that time, he will complain. Oh, all the other people, they are all whispering. I don't hear anything. They are all murmuring about me only. That is what he will be always telling. But the Lord is only facilitating to do meditation by making hearing difficult. But no, I cannot understand that at all. When you go deaf, what do? You can do meditation excellently because calling bell, phone ringing, none of them will disturb you. So the Lord is making us more and more contemplative. But what we really do, we keep a hearing aid. Try to hear what the gossip is about. So some devotee who was wearing a hearing aid, actually it seems he went to Swami Chinmayanandaji. And he said, Swamiji, people are always complaining about me. That's what he told Swamiji. And Swamiji apparently said, it seems, switch off your hearing aid. You cannot shut their mouth, but this you can. So that's what he said. Therefore, it is a blessing. So, ekante sukham ashyatam. Be seated in a secluded place. And do what? Do not worry. Paratare chetaha samadhiyatam. Next instruction. Paratare chetaha samadhiyatam. May you fix your mind upon the Supreme Brahman. Paratare chetaha samadhiyatam. Chetaha means mind. Samadhiyatam, may you fix. all passive voice. As I told in the beginning itself, all of them are given in the passive voice. May your mind be fixed upon the Supreme Brahman, Paratare. So, Purnatma. And then Purnatma, Su Samikshyatam. May you see the fact that Atma is ever Purnaha, Purnatma. I don't mean anything in life at all. I do not, because Aham Purnaha. I don't lack anything in life. I am self-sufficient. That kind of an awareness one should have. Then what about the world? About me, I am Purnaha. What about the world? Because as long as the world Anatma is there, world is Anatma, Atma cannot be Purnaha. So long as I recognize the world, Atma cannot be Purnaha, because Atma and Anatma will constitute duality. Dvaitam. So, as long as I see the world Anatma as different from me, the Atma will be limited. And so, Shankaracharya says, may you negate Anatma, the world, in the vision of Atma, Atma Drishtya. You negate Anatma. How is it possible? By seeing the Atma as Karanam, Satyam, and seeing the Anatma as Anatma, Mithya. Only by having the attention shifted in this manner, one can have that kind of a vision. Actually, in Tamil, there is a beautiful saying, Marathai maraithadu mamadayanai, marathil maraindadu mamadayanai, parathai maraithadu parmudal bhutam, parathil maraindadu parmudal bhutam. When I miss the wood, Marathai maraithadu mamadayanai. When I missed the wood, the elephant was seen. I missed the wood, I saw the elephant, wood elephant. But when I see the wood, in the vision of the wood, there is nothing called elephant except name and form. It is all wood. Elephant is only a name and form. Similarly, Anatma was taken as a solid reality until I discovered Atma. In the discovery of Atma, Anatma is reduced to Namarupa only. Similarly, there is another beautiful saying also, Ponnai maraithadu ponmani bhushanam, ponnil maraindadu ponmani bhushanam, tannai maraithadu tan karacharanadigal, tannil maraindadu tan karacharanadigal. So, marathai maraithadu is tatpadam and ponnil maraindadu is with respect to tvampada. So, both are mentioned. Anyway, so the essence is what? Atma drishtya anatma bhasyate. Therefore, he says, idam jagat tat baditam. This world is negated by the vision of what? By the vision of Atma. This world is negated. So, tat baditam. Tat baditam means, tena atmana baditam. Drishyatam. May you see this very, very clearly. Drishyatam. May you see this clearly. And this alone, Shankaracharya has said in the famous shloka, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha Anena Vedyam Tachatram Vedanta Iti Dindimaha. And once a person has pursued Nididhyasanam for sufficient length of time, then the Jnanam becomes Nishta. He is ever established in that knowledge. And once Jnana Nishta comes, this vision is spontaneous. No effort will be needed at all for this. For example, I am a human being. Do you need Nididhyasanam to realize that? It is spontaneous. I am a male or female. That knowledge is spontaneous. It does not require any conscious effort on my part to find out. In the same way, Aham Brahmasmi, that becomes spontaneous. Pashyan, Shrinvan, Sprishan, Jigran, they are all there. But as far as I am concerned, Aham Brahma Asmi, that is the truth. And this knowledge is called Jivan Mukti. And once this spontaneity comes, even Nididhyasanam is not required anymore. So until the spontaneity comes, one has to do Nididhyasana. After that, no more effort is required. Such a person is called Jivan Muktaha. And in the last two lines, Shankaracharya, he points out, lead a life of a Jivan Mukta. That is the instruction. Lead a life of a Jivan Mukta. And at the same time, after death, become a Videha Muktaha also. So to understand Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti, Shankaracharya introduces the threefold karmas. The Sanchita Karma, the Agami Karma, and the Prarabdha Karma. So without understanding the law of karma, Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti cannot be understood. So we will briefly now discuss the law of karma. Even though in Tattvabodha lectures I have spent time in discussing them, now it is good to just refresh again. So the following important principles, they constitute the law of karma that we will discuss. So what are those principles? Number one, every action has got two types of results, known as the drishtapalam, the visible result, and the adrishtapalam, the invisible result. And number two, the invisible result or the adrishtapalam, that is also of two types. One is called suadrishtam or punyam, and the other is called duradrishtam or papam. We cannot see punyam and papam because they both are what? They both are adrishtam, which cannot be seen. And the third point is, which action produces punyam and which action produces papam is determined by whom? By Shastra only. How? Whatever Shastra commands, those actions produce punyam. So whatever we do according to Shastra, that will produce punyam. So whatever Shastra prohibits, that produces papam. So if you put it in simple Sanskrit, Shastra vihitam punyam janayati, Shastra nishiddam papam janayati. And the fourth point is, this invisible punyam and papam will later give pleasurable and painful experiences respectively. To put in a simple Sanskrit again, punyam sukham janayati, papam dukkham janayati. And the fifth point is, the gap or the duration required for punyam to produce pleasure is unpredictable by us. So punyam's incubation period, that is unpredictable. Whether it will give palam tomorrow or after 10 years or next janma, we cannot say. It is inherent in the punyam itself. Similarly, the incubation period of papam also is not predictable by us. It may be immediate or may be much, much later. So it is like different seeds sprouting after different durations of time. For example, a papaya seed will immediately sprout within a few months. It will yield fruit. Whereas some of the other trees may take even years. We should not ask why. If we asked, then we will say, because it is papaya and the other is mango. So the nature cannot be questioned by us. Every punyam has got its own incubation period or as its nature, which no one, including the God, can change. We have to understand that. And the sixth point is, since the time taken cannot be predicted, some of the punya papas may not fructify throughout this janma, because of which an individual dies with punya papa balance, because it is not enjoyed or suffered during this janma itself. And the seventh point is, for experiencing the balanced punya papa, one requires another janma, punarjanma, which is only a natural extension. But often what happens in the next janma, even though he exhausts some of the punya papas, he still acquires more punya papas, thus accumulating more and more punya papam in the next janma also. And in another janma, again more and more punya papam. And thus every jiva has got a huge stock of punya papam accumulated in countless janmas. And all the accumulated punya papam is called sanchita punya papam or sanchita karma, that which is accumulated, that which is collected. And the eighth point is, out of that huge bundle of sanchita punya papam, only a portion gets ready for fructification, and that portion which is ready for fructification is called prarabdha karma, prarabdha punya papa, which alone is responsible for the present birth, present type of body, male or female, healthy or sickly body, born to a rich person or a poor person, even the duration of life. All those things depend on prarabdha karma. So all, and sanchitam cannot do anything in this janma. Even though there is a big bundle of sanchita karma, it cannot do anything during this janma. It cannot touch us at all. For example, it is like a person going to the local embassy in a country where the police have no jurisdiction at all. He cannot go. He go into the local embassy and he is protected there, because embassy is not the territory of that country. Similarly, if one is within the territory of prarabdha, it alone can catch us. Nobody else. Even the greatest sanchita papam cannot touch this person when prarabdha is in force. Then what can touch him? When it gets ready for fructification again, then only it can touch. And the ninth point is, when we are exhausting the prarabdha, whatever fresh punya papa we acquire, they are called agami karma. Agami. And in the agami also, some portion may fructify in this janma itself. For example, when one does putra kameshti yajna, in which janma he needs the result? He needs the son in this janma only, not in the next janma. So somebody does yajna for rains, not to get rains in the swargaloka. He wants rain now, here. So some of the agami karmas, they fructify in this janma, some of them do not. And what happens to the unfructified agami? They will join the sanchita bundle at the time of death. So prarabdha and a part of agami, they both are experienced during this birth. And when they are exhausted, death comes. That part of unfructified agami joins sanchita. And then what happens? From sanchita, another portion is waiting in the line to fructify, which will become prarabdha. And punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam. This is the cycle of an ignorant person, of an ajnani. And this is the law of karma. So the law of karma, that is the adrishta palam, is not yet proved scientifically or established by any other means. For example, Newton, he has established the law of action. When he says that every action has got an equal and opposite reaction, then does he deal with drishtapalam or adrishtapalam? He deals with drishtam only, whatever can be seen. What we are talking about is the law of adrishtam, the one that cannot be seen, which has not yet been scientifically proved. If so, it would have been one of the chapters in any science book, right? If it is proved. Like the theory of relativity, law of gravitation, there will be law of karma. That also will be there in textbooks. So the law of karma is accepted by us based on the shastras only. What is the benefit of accepting the law of karma then? Suppose I do not accept, what will happen? Or if I accept, what will be the benefit? We have to ask these questions. So we say, the acceptance of the law has got many advantages. Number one, the law of karma alone can explain the disparities in the world. Among human beings, for example, one person is dull, another person is bright, one is a skilled musician, another is a person is a mathematical prodigy, another person is born sick, another one has a congenital disease, all those things. So these discrepancies can never be explained unless we accept the law of karma. Scientists may attribute to genetics for all these things, variations. But that will lead again to another question. Why should that genetics be like that? That will be the next question. So law of karma helps in explaining the differences in humans or animals, etc. That is number one. And the second point is, the law of karma helps in accepting some of the painful experiences for which we do not see an immediate reason. If I can see the reason, law of karma is not required. I did this mistake, I suffer this consequence. That is very natural. Often we are not able to see any mistake or any reason. In such cases, the law of karma will point out that it is the prarabdha, which is the result of the past life, which is fructifying now. So the effect is visible now, but the cause is not visible. But it is there in the form of prarabdha papam. And so I do not feel any injustice in my suffering. When I suffer, I accept it. One thing, you know, any human being cannot stand is injustice, right? When I suffer for no reason, I feel injustice in the world. Either I become pessimistic or frustrated or become an atheist, because if there is a Lord, he becomes unjust, all those arguments I make. All these problems will come, but now the law of karma tells me that I am experiencing for what I have done myself. I am facing the music for my past action. I don't blame the society. I don't blame the neighbor. I don't blame the stars and planets. I don't blame God or anyone else. I am responsible for what I am going through. So the law of karma is a great shock absorber for me. And the third point is, if I accept the law of karma, I can take charge of my future, because I know I am responsible for my present condition because of my past action. And I alone am responsible for my future because of my present action. It is not determined by fate or chance or God, but it is determined by myself only. So the present me is the product of the past me, and the future me will be the product of the present me. And therefore, I can take charge of my own future. If the law of karma is not accepted, everything has to be explained based on chance. And everything is in chance. Then the future also will be determined by chance. Then I will ask the question, why should I work for it at all? Because it is determined by chance. And so the law of karma helps me to take charge of my own future. It helps me in accepting the Purushartha. So I have a free will to determine my future. And this is the third advantage. And the fourth advantage is, it is also equally important, we can introduce moral order in society only with the help of the law of karma, the moral order in society. Why? Because one of the questions that bugs all younger minds is what? They feel there are many corrupt people thriving, getting away with all their actions. Many people get away with murder even. If the police comes, out of the corrupt money, some portion is given to them as bribe, to the you know, anybody in the politics or in the official positions, bureaucrat, and even judge even sometimes. So one thing we see is that the corrupt one is thriving, and the other thing we see is the moral, righteous, conscientious person is seen as suffering, going through poverty and all that. So what is the equation? The equation that any analytical mind will arrive at is what? If you have to thrive, you have to be corrupt. That's what people will draw the analogy. And if you are good, you have to suffer. So they will grow with this idea that goodness can never face society. You should know how to survive. That is very significant idiom for corruption. In Tamil, they say, you know, you should know how to survive. If this disparity, this equation has to be broken, then you can do that only with the law of karma. If a corrupt man thrives today, his thriving is not the direct result of his corruption today. Corruption will produce papam. The suffering is bound to come. When? I do not know, because the time gap is unpredictable. So if a person thrives today, it is because of the prarabdha punyam that he has done sometime earlier in his previous janma, and not because of the present action. And if a noble person also, if he suffers today, the suffering is certainly not the result of today's nobility, but it is the result of the prarabdha papa. And the nobility never goes unpaid in some future time. Either in this janma or in the next janma, he will get the reward for his nobility. So the law of karma is a very important thing which we have to accept from the shastras. Now we have to see what happens to a jnani. We have seen what happens to an ajnani. What is that? He suffers prarabdha and part of agami in this janma. Unfructified agami joins sanchita karma and part of it fructifies as prarabdha. Again he has punarapi jananam. It continues. In the case of a jnani, what happens? Shankaracharya says, prakarma previlapyatam chitibalate. Chitibalam means what? Jnanabalam. By the strength of knowledge, by the strength of jnanam, may you burn, may you destroy. Previlapyatam, that means may dissolve. What? Prakarma. Prakarma means sanchita karma. So may you dissolve all the sanchita karma by the strength of knowledge. Like what? A dreamer dissolving all the karmas by sheer waking up. He did so many atrocities in the dream, caught by the police, was brought to the jail, 7 years rigorous imprisonment. He refused to go inside the jail. The policeman pushed him and his head hit against the wall and broke. All those things happened in the dream. But he woke up and found that everything was dissolved. So what all he had to do was to only wake up. So may all the sanchita karmas be dissolved by the strength of self-knowledge. Then what about agami? Napi uttaraihi shlishyatam. May you not be affected by, tainted by agami karma. Napi uttaraihi slishyatam. Because of your egolessness, ahankara abhavat. If you do the action with the abhimana of I am doing, aham karta. If you think that way, when somebody praises, I feel praised. Because I think I am the doer. So when somebody praises, I feel praised. When someone criticizes, I feel criticized. So when the abhimana is not there, the body consciousness is not there, ahankara vimudatma kartaram iti manyate. That is what Krishna said. Tattva vittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayoho guna guneshu vartante iti matva na sajjate. So Krishna said all those shlokas. So may you not be affected by the agami karma, just as the lotus leaf is not affected by the water, even though it is in the midst of water. So here, what is meant by uttaraihi? Uttaraihi means agami karma bihi. Uttara means agami. Slishyatam. Slishyatam means may you not be tainted. Let it not be wetting you. Ottikama. Slish. And sanchita is burnt and he has insulated himself from agami. So just like that touching a live wire with a glove, or putting on a raincoat in rain. So the rain or the electricity does not affect him because he has insulated himself from them. It will rain, but I will not get wet. Similarly, the karma will produce phalam at the vyavaharika level, at the relative level. But I am not wet by that. Then what about the prarabdha? Prarabdha, prarabdham tum iha bhujyatam. May prarabdha be experienced. You cannot escape that. Whether it is a jnani or a jnani, he cannot escape prarabdha. So let that be experienced, exhausted by you in this janma itself. And so the sukha dukkha experiences will be there, but he does not claim them as his experience. Because he does not consider himself as the secondary illuminator, the ahankara. He wants up his nature as the primary illuminator, in front of which all awareness, all these will appear insignificant. When you look at the tree from here, for example, we see a huge tree. But when you go to the mountain, and watch, look down upon the tree, even though the tree is of the same height, because of your higher vision, the tree appears to be insignificant. It almost is not there. So, ahankara, suffering, is huge when you look as ahankara. But when you see from atmadrishtya, ahankara, suffering will be the same, but it won't appear significant at all. That is the difference. Like, for example, in an accident, many people have died. Some person lost his leg only. Now, immediately he feels the leg is gone. But when I see many people have lost their life even, what do I say? God thalakki vanjadu, thalappaagiyoda poiduthu. So, I think that whatever could be worse is gone just with maybe one limb or something. So, the instance being the same, when I change my attitude, it loses its dimension. Similarly, a jnani also goes through the same type of problem. But because of his higher vision, the sufferings, they lose the dimension and appear very small. Therefore, prarabdham tu iha bujyatam. May you go through the prarabdha in this life, in this janma. And up to this is given as jivan mukti. Now, the acharya is going to talk about videha mukti after death. Atha. Atha means thereafter. Whereafter? When the prarabdha has been exhausted. So, parabrahmatmana sthiyatam. May you remain eternally as parambrahma. Because what has gone is ahankara. Ahankara is gone. The body-mind complex is gone. But who is jnani? He is not the ahankara, but jnani is the primary illuminator, the Brahman. Just as after breaking the pot, the space continues. You had a pot and there was this pot space. You broke the pot and even after breaking the pot, the space continues. Similarly, after the death of the jnani's body, the primary illuminator, Atma, that continues. Then what is the difference? Previously, when the pot was around, the space was given a name. It had a nama rupa. It was given a name called pot space. And when the pot is broken, only the name is removed, but the space remains. The pot space is gone, but space remains. Similarly, when the body is around, the Atma is given a specific name, so and all that, you know. And so and so, some you call by this name and that name, some title. And then when that is gone, that name is withdrawn, but the Atma continues. Therefore, he says, Parabrahmatmana sthiyatam. May you remain forever as Brahman. And this is Videha Mukti, which is the final accomplishment. So, the Acharya then, he talked about the four stages. Number one, the Brahmacharya Ashrama, Vedo Nityam Adiyatam, the first shloka. And second, he talked about the Grahastha Ashrama or Karma Yoga. And third, he talked about the Vanaprastha Ashrama or the Upasana. And then he talked about the Sannyasa Ashrama, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam and Jnana Yoga. So, once a person goes through all these four stages, he attains Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti. So, whether a person physically goes through stages or not, one has to mentally go through these stages compulsorily. Even if a sannyasi has not got married, even if he needs to get Chitta Shuddhi, he has to take to an active life only. Activity is required even for a sannyasi. Similarly, even if the sannyasi does not go through Vanaprastha Ashrama, he has to still go through Upasana. No choice. So, even if one does not take to sannyasa, one has to go through Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So, everyone has to go through these four stages that one cannot escape. Physically or mentally, they have to go through it, or purely mentally also, and attain Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti. And this is Sadhana Panchakam. With this, we will conclude this particular section of Adi Shankaracharya. This is called Sadhana Panchakam or Upadesha Panchakam. There are so many names for this particular work, which we have seen in detail in the introduction. Yo vedadav swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah Sri Krishna Narayana.